Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
And welcome to the Musicals with Cheese bonus episode, Make Me a Musical. I'm here with Andrew DeWolf, and we have an extra special guest.
We always have special guests. Who do we have this time, Jess?
Oh, my goodness. From the brand new As You Like It, it's Amy Frances Quint!
That's me.
She's waving. I love that she waved because this is an audio format.
Hey, we can see each other, so audience can tell.
Amy, thank you for joining us. I hope you're in for a fun time because we did kind of throw you to the wolves right now.
Hey, you know what? The first rule of improv is the answer is always yes, right?
So. Yes. I mean, yes. Improv alone, of course. So today, what are we going to make into a musical based on just what you brought in? You have props, so if you're not
in context, we have a lot of props here. We have
a special guest of my own.
Oh my goodness.
And her name is Petticorn. And I understand you can't see us, so I'm going to have to describe her for you.
Yes, please.
She is magical. She is pastel and tie-dye. She is a kitty with a sparkly horn and a very floofy tail. And this is what my 6-year-old daughter lives for. All Petticorn, all the time. She has many friends. She is the star of everything that happens in my house.
It sounds like you may have already made a musical and we're just going to hear it at this point.
Well, you know, she did make a short film about this. My 6-year-old was commissioned to make a short film and this is what she wrote about. So
incredible. Absolutely incredible. So it's Petticorn the musical. The
most
musical.
Unique doll I've ever seen or stuffed animal I've ever seen.
Sincerely, like when we were kids, it was just Barney. Everyone had Barney, but now we have these actual creative choices out here.
Yeah, much better.
Oh, I don't 100%. Know where you get it. Where do you get a Petticorn? Where did you find this?
It's a little boutique called Amazon. You may have heard of it.
I guess everything's on Amazon, isn't it?
I believe they have a web presence.
I think my friend Jeff works there.
Yeah.
Oh, Jeff. Yeah, I think I've heard of him.
Yeah, he's having some
hair. He lives in space now, right?
But Petticorn the musical. Do we have a name for the Petticorn? Our lead character.
Her name is Silver Tongue Flooftail.
Silver Tongue Flooftail.
That's better, I suppose.
It's better than almost any name in Cats the musical, so I'm willing to go with it.
I think Petticorn will replace Cats now that it needs a replacement. So.
Well, let's see. Is this going to be a proper narrative or is it going to be a series of vignettes with different Petticorns? Because we do have a lot of Petticorns sitting there with you.
We do have, well, yes, we also have Permaid.
I think the rest are...
Oh, a perm! Oh my gosh.
So I feel like it should be like all of her friends and magical creatures.
Oh, okay, I love this.
Maybe take the Cats template where they all kind of have their big showstopper and then really weird happens, like the cat ascends to heaven and is reborn.
Well, no, they get... they don't even touch on the non-live section of that in Cats, so maybe that's like we'll lean into. They turn
Ooh,
into,
I like nine lives. Maybe
Petticorn
like,
has nine
this
lives.
And then comes back as like the stripy cat.
Yes, it is the nine different lives of Petticorn. And every time it's a new experience. All right, that is our structure. This is going to be a little bit more experimental of a musical, but I'm into it. So we start with Petticorn. Yes. What is the life of the first Petticorn?
I think she has to come down from space, you know, to Earth.
I mean, she is.
That I was making her do that, you know.
The Petticorn has to come from somewhere, and it obviously isn't an Earth creature.
No.
So it's probably from some other planet. Like
I feel
Zulu
like it involves
something.
Sliding down a rainbow. You know.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
From Valhalla.
Yes. So we're ascending
crossing the rainbow bridge
and Nordic people.
It's very much like Hedwig and the Angry Inch, where it's all the mythologies create the Petticorn.
Just make it sloppy. Throw it all in there.
It's intentionally made that way.
Yes.
All right. So she comes down. I'm a gender, like non-binary. Do we have a gender for the Petticorn?
They come down.
That opens it up to a lot more possibilities in performers.
Exactly.
I don't think Petticorns have genders. I mean, we're just going to. We're beyond that.
They're beyond the binary. Far beyond. In Valhalla. Yes. So Catacorn comes down, meets a young girl, and they fall in love platonically, as you do with a Catacorn.
I mean, and, who can resist this, you know?
Yes. And she discovers humanity and all the weird things that humans do. And I like the idea of viewing humans through the eyes of a creature that just does not understand our customs. why does this human keep petting me?
What does the Catacorn want? You know, like, why is it here?
I think it's like one of those things where it doesn't have a drive aside from just to experience things, which is maybe it grows a drive through its 9 lives and different personas.
I was going to go nefarious, but you're very positive.
I was thinking, what if the cat...
Little cat villains are always more fun, but I agree. I guess I'm into positive.
No, I like negative better. I just didn't want to ruin the Catacorn.
It's above everything, and then it has to experience the 9 lives to realize that.
Right, to learn its humanity. And maybe it becomes a real person by the end, like Pinocchio.
Yes. Okay. I'm in love with this specifically because every time you change, it can change gender. So the Catacorn has no gender, none of the binary. Yes. It can be a different performer. All right.
It's
so what happens?
Learning the human experience.
Heck yeah. So Catacorn starts, unicorn cat interacts with humans. What happens to cause it to die or decide it needs to move on to the next life?
I feel like it has to be something. Like she's got to ascend somewhere, you know?
I don't want it to be like a violent thing, you know. I don't want the Catacorn to die. I feel like it's more
what if it's
vague?
Like adapts, like it's suddenly in water and then it becomes the permaid.
Yeah.
Okay.
Evolution, right?
I love that idea. It's like instant evolution. So we're in a
point.
I mean,
kind of going backwards because I feel like, but I whatever. Mean, you know, whatever.
I don't
science,
think.
Whatever.
I mean, cats don't
for
love.
Catacorns.
Yeah, because cats don't love water, and neither do unicorns, as far as I know about my history
but
of
permaids
unicorns.
But permaids like water, so.
Permaids love water. So. Let's just say the girl that it bumps into and it finds completely disdainful, as most cats would for humans.
Trying to get away from the girl. The whole first section is the girl loves the Catacorn and the Catacorn can't communicate, so it's just trying to get away.
And
it's
then
like
eventually,
whatever that Looney Tunes or whatever that girl.
Yes,
was.
The Tiny Tunes. What was
Tiny
her name?
Tunes.
Lila,
yeah, okay.
Lila or something
she
like
squeezed
that.
Them too hard.
Yeah. It's just like that, and eventually it gets away by jumping into a body of water,
the ocean, because then it becomes a permaid and it meets catfish at the bottom of the ocean.
I feel like we're downgrading this poor Catacorn.
I mean, it's away from the human girl, so it's an upgrade.
I guess.
And they have to discover like the different kinds of creatures, even the horrific ocean creatures that us humans don't even understand yet.
What does it learn from this part of it?
Yeah,
then?
I'm like, wait a minute, but we need to get back on track. She's learn how to evolve into a human.
It learns something in the water.
How mermaids used to like rescue sailors and stuff?
Oh, yes.
Right? Isn't that a thing?
I was going to go dark with it, but I like that better.
Romance.
I like romance. Okay. It falls in love with a sailor. The permaid falls in love with a stranded sailor and brings it back to shore. And
a
discovers
handsome stranded sailor.
Yes, but in this thing, the sailor doesn't love it back. So there instead, the little girl that wants to love but is being rejected.
And so the creature has learned the value of accepting love from an unexpected source.
And the sailor leaves and it chases it on land and evolves into the next form.
Okay, sailors, like when I think of sailors, I think striped shirts. I don't know why. Maybe that's old timey. So then it can become
played by this guy.
The striped cat. To try to become more like the sailor.
Yes.
You'll love me not as a permaid, but as a striped cat, because you also have stripes. And it just is turned down at every spot. In fact, the sailor maroons it somewhere on just some uninhabited island. How many more cats we got?
I have more cats. I may have to get up, but I still have one more cat here.
Oh, that's a white. Okay, maybe he abandons it in Alaska, and it has to be like a polar cat.
Polar cat.
Yeah, and then I don't know. So I feel like we have a lot of like vignettes here.
Yes.
What's like the ending? You know, like
where are we all headed?
Yeah, like where is the story trying to go? Like, what's the end? I feel like the ending should be the Catacorn comes back as a Catacorn and finds the little girl.
Oh, definitely.
Up. and
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the cat, like not even grown up, elderly. Like it's been like nearly 80 years since
it's
the
like
start
a giving
of the story.
Tree.
A little bit. Yes. But the Catacorn learns love and rejection and all the things that bring it to humanity. And the Catacorn goes from this cold, callous kind of figure that's like doesn't understand it to being like, yes, you are important to me and I'm important to you and I'm glad to be here.
Just in time.
Yes. Before it died.
Before it died.
But there's like a daughter or something, you know, and there's more.
Yeah, yeah, it ends slightly uplifting.
The old lady can pass it along to her little granddaughter.
And maybe that's the first time
the value of family.
Or the value of life, because the Catacorn sees death in front of it.
Or the Catacorn walks the old lady back across the Rainbow Bridge.
Yes. Oh my God. I'm very big into this. So we have a series of vignettes.
I mean, this has to be like, you know, anime.
It feels like it. It kind of does.
Well, I'm imagining it like Julie Taymor style, where they're both human and cat at the same time.
Oh, you're going puppets. I was going animation.
I'm into animation.
I could see animation. What was that one anime like musical we watched? I could see something like that.
Over the Garden Wall?
No.
Oh, Belle.
Belle, yeah. It was something like that, yeah, like an actual anime style.
And in anime, you don't have to have plot, really. You just have to have a lot of pretty cool things happening.
Exactly.
It's true. And I feel like that's what we've got going on here.
Yeah, no, this is avant-garde for sure.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. So let's
Like it. I feel like this is pretty good.
I'd actually watch this. So we got to go with the Arctic cat, the polar cat, where it finds its, I call this the lowest point moment, where the sailor abandons it in the Antarctic. There isn't a creature for miles, and it just has to adapt and deal with the fact that being alone and having nothingness and no connection be a possible outcome for its life.
But it finds a lone family that adopts it and takes it in and takes care of it. Right?
No, I think it should be, I think it should just be a lone fisherman who also lost his family.
Okay, yeah, that's fine too. That's similar idea.
Yeah, similar idea, but I think like someone that could also relay that isolation that they feel.
Yeah.
And they cure it for each other.
And then he brings it back to society.
Yeah.
And we get the next iteration.
Yes. What would, or the man's preparing to die and then the cat develops to try to save this man and try to get him out of where they are, the dangerous situation.
That must be, that might be a heavy lift for a small cat.
Oof. Well, that's why it's got to transform into a bigger cat. So, what would be the next cat iteration? What do we got, Amy?
What do we got? Hang on. I got more cats. I always got more. I mean,
there's
I
more cats. We have more cats.
Yeah, this is literally how Andrew Lloyd Webber pitched Cats to everyone.
It's about cats.
Our Cats is about life and death on the Rainbow Bridge, but here it's a little bit more. I think there's more narrative here than there is to Cats. And we. Oh,
see,
my
that's
goodness.
Perfect.
That is
you wanted a bigger cat.
That is a big boy cat.
I got the big boy cat.
That thing could float across the ocean.
Yeah, literally.
Yes, and it sails. Maybe the old guy gets sick, and the big giant cat sails.
I love it. I love this idea so much, and I love the idea.
This
of
is where the cat has to learn about death, though, which is sad. This is the sad part.
No, the cat is not able to save the old man. Sadly enough, they try with all their might. They transform to the biggest cat they can, but sadly, nope. Old man
just,
dies.
Just for reference, the cat is just this big. It looks like a hippo cat.
It is the cutest thing. And just imagine a sad old fisherman dying on his back. So I'm actually really digging where this is going. You've got this giant lumbering cat forced to like bury an old man at sea. And the old man made the cat deliver something to his remaining family.
Sister.
There we go. I like that.
Back at home, who turns out to be
the original girl.
The original girl.
Also, like, just sneaking in, and this time, oh, hold on. He learns about death, and when the old fisherman dies, he sees the rainbow and the old man walking up the Rainbow Bridge to Valhalla.
The rainbow is like it's a theme. It's a thing.
Yes. Like, we see, like, rainbow imagery throughout. Like, anime doesn't have to make sense. No. Just gotta be Birdie.
Musicals don't have to make sense either.
Yeah, look at Cats. So we got that, and then she also sees like the old lady die and decides, I want to settle down with this young girl, the daughter, the granddaughter of the original girl, and decides this is enough. This is a worthy life.
And that's when it turns back into the Catacorn.
Yes, back into the Catacorn and resolution. But in the moment of turning back to the Catacorn, all the different versions of the cats come together and sing in harmonies.
Well, yeah, no, you need a big finale.
It's the big finish.
It's literally like Sunday from the end of Sunday in the Park with George, like with a cat corral all coming together. Okay, that was actually I see this in my head, and yeah. I see it like playing like off Broadway at the second stage or something.
I think it'd be like a really good like family event as well.
Yeah. You know, it's New Victory.
Oh yes. Who do we think would compose the score to this specific musical that we've pitched here?
I kind of feel like it's gotta be like someone from the pop world.
Yeah, someone
like a Taylor Swift. She likes a cat.
Oh my god.
Taylor Swift was in Cats.
It's all connected.
Yeah, that's right.
Would she
I feel like that could actually
do it.
Would she play the Catacorn though, like the original? And like nothing too stressful. She can't do a whole show on her back, but she could play the beginning and end Catacorn.
I can see it. Yeah. And then she could compose like some poppy type music, which I think would fit with what we're going with here. Mm-hmm. I think,
but
this
we also
is like
the right vibe.
I think she might lean into the folk style for this. I feel like that would be like the thing she'd choose to do rather than like blank space.
Yeah, I think folk music would be really good.
Well, because we do have all these mythologies that we're jamming in there, you know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
All right, since the Catacorn has no gender, let's pitch the cast of the rest of the Catacorns. So let's say the mermaid Catacorn. Do we
well,
see
well, she's got to be a glamorous, you know, a glamorous type.
Yeah, maybe MJ Rodriguez, Michaela J. Rodriguez. I feel like she'd be like a really good mermaid type. Or who else we got? Man.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
I'm sold on that one, but then we could also do Sierra Boggess and make her a mermaid again.
Whatever you feel, Jess. I don't even know who you're talking about.
Oh yeah, you don't know theater people.
I am not well versed in the musical theater star universe.
Well, that's fair, but we got to have another star for the fisherman, who's a small role, and then you get to sit off stage for a bunch of the story.
Josh Brolin,
because that's the one who has to break your. The sailor or the fisherman?
I was thinking the sailor, or the fisherman, but the sailor. We need like a dick in that role.
Yeah.
You need a lovable dick, a Gaston type.
Yes, exactly.
I almost feel like this wouldn't have theater people in it necessarily, because
no,
I think that this would be
Taylor
an animated
Swift.
Film of some sort.
You'd get like a famous actor.
Yeah,
and
we can get the movie stars for this one.
I think this would be movie stars for
plus
the like, think Catacorn.
Itself. I mean, who's
yeah? I mean, it's a big IP. Like, people are gonna want to attach themselves to this.
Jeffrey Bezos, my good buddy, is my.
Well, he's financing
this It's going to be financed by Jeff Bezos.
It's
so I mean,
Amazon
I feel like,
Studios, right?
I mean, these are Amazon characters, so
yeah, they own the copyright.
It's on Prime or whatever it's called. Yeah.
So Harry Styles as the sailor.
There's a lot of controversy there, I feel.
I mean, we all saw his wonderful performance in Don't Worry, Darling. He's great at accents, so we can really just throw him anything and he'll probably nail it.
The sailor has a Scottish accent.
Oh, obviously. What am I thinking? Chris Pratt.
Oh, man.
He can do anything.
No, I feel like he's a little bit typecast as an Italian. So.
Oh, you're right.
He's got that strong accent. So.
Well, if we're going to do Scottish, which is what you pick, maybe we could do Ewan McGregor or David Tennant if we're going to go a little bit cheaper.
I like either of those, honestly. But can either of them sing?
Ewan McGregor was in Moulin Rouge.
He was.
Yeah, I think he's a great choice then. I think that's great. I think that's
great. He can play a dick.
Yeah, a Scottish dick. Then we need like some old man character actor that everyone loves as the fisherman that can tear your heart out with just his voice.
Like the guy from Babe? What are we talking about?
Oh, that's... What is that guy's name? I know who you're talking. I can see his face.
Cromwell or
James Cromwell, yes. When he's not getting arrested every other week, yes, I would love to see. I think he's perfect.
I haven't seen Babe in a long time.
Honestly, James Cromwell, stick with it. The farmer from Babe. That's so perfect. My God, I'm angry that I haven't
been
choices.
And that's how you credit him. It's just like the farmer from Babe.
Farmer from Babe.
He's playing that character, playing this role, so...
I think I got one last person we need, and that's the old lady at the end.
Oh yeah, it needs to be. I was literally just about to pitch Angela Lansbury, but
I'm like, it can't be Angela Lansbury now.
Oh God, do we have any of those like beautiful like character actresses left? Like Jessica Lange is gone.
She's gone.
No, not Jessica Lange. Jessica Walters is gone, but Jessica Lange might work. She's still alive, isn't she?
Well, she might. She's too glamorous.
Let's look it up.
She's alive.
She has to be alive. Yeah, she's still alive somehow. Thank God.
She's still with us.
Maybe the girl that plays the girl from Insidious, Lin Shaye.
How about like a Cecily Tyson or someone?
Ooh, that's a good one. I'm sticking with that one.
She's in her 90s.
That would be good. So if we're going to make her the older lady who comes in and does it, who are we going to get for the younger version of her? Maybe
I think it's
like,
just some child actor.
Like Storm Reid or something like that.
Some child. An innocent child who has never done anything before because you need that fresh innocence.
That exactly. Producer's
plucked
nephew.
Off the sidewalk.
Yeah, it's the producer's daughter.
It's Jeff Bezos' daughter.
Yeah.
Does Jeff Bezos have kids?
It's Millie Sue Bezos.
Millie Bobby Bezos.
Exactly.
All right. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing this on Amazon Prime.
We still have a couple more unicats to get because we need Stripe Cat and we need the big boy.
Well, are we getting stars for
this guy? Is just so handsome.
Yes. I think every time it needs to be a new star because you can market it with all these stars and they only have 30 minutes of voice time.
But they are voice actors, though. So are we looking for voice actors?
Yeah, but the attractiveness comes through.
Oh, yeah. You can get it.
You can hear the handsome.
It's true.
So I'm thinking Sailor Cat. Hugh Jackman would probably do it for nothing.
Oh, he would do it for free. You know,
Hugh Jackman would do it. And
you want me in a cat musical?
He would do anything to get back on in a musical. Yeah. After what happened with Music Man.
Oh yeah. Okay. So he is the Striped Cat. After the Permaid, and then Polar Cat.
We need a strong actor for this because this one goes through some transformation.
I think we need like an emo voice, so like Billie Eilish. She'd have like this really dour sounding song.
And that's like a star power thing too.
Yeah,
I feel like that works really well.
Either that or Ingrid Michaelson. Those are my two choices.
I feel like Billie Eilish will sell the tickets.
You're right.
Isn't that what we want?
Absolutely. And that's right. You can like top bill that like
Oscar winner, Billie Eilish.
Oh my God. Where's Gaga? We don't have Lady Gaga in this.
Oh my gosh. Oh my Gaga.
Maybe she's the Permaid.
You know what? Permaid, Lady Gaga. I'm into it. Yeah. Sorry, MJ Rodriguez, right. Lady Gaga.
So the big cat, we need like a booming voice.
Josh Groban. Wait, that's also that's also the cat that has to have the sailor die on their back.
Yeah, so they probably have to sing like a lament or something.
Yeah, I mean, that could work with Josh Groban. But I feel like he's almost become a meme of himself because of all the lamenting songs he sings.
How about like a John Legend?
I mean, that's why he's a great pick.
John Legend, right? Actually, I'm good with John Legend. Yeah. He would do it. And he's not the worst actor. He's not the best either, but he'll nail it.
He'll do. That'll do, pig.
No, he says that line. That'll do, cat. That'll do.
Is it? Was there one more cat? I think that was it, though.
I think we've covered the cats.
And then it comes back to the original.
But then it's back to the original, which is back to Taylor.
Yeah, we just go back to the original.
Tay Swizzle comes in and he does.
Tay Swizz.
And the cat pulls out a acoustic guitar and then sings us into the end credits.
Yes. Exactly. With the little secret vignette at the end.
In the end credits, you see like the real actor dressed as their unicorn version, but like only half-assed, for when they're showing up.
Yeah, all of them, just with cat ears.
It's like the Jerry Seinfeld B-movie commercials.
Yes, exactly like that, Andrew. That's how you market this thing. I'm in love with this. I'm almost angry it doesn't exist right now. Can you tell me, Amy, what do you think will be the title of the big popular song that they're playing on the radio, sung by either, probably Taylor Swift?
Okay. Tease, but let's see.
The song titles are
Find My Rainbow.
I love it. That, hey, look at that. That sounds like a Taylor Swift song already.
That was actually pretty good. I wouldn't have thought of that.
And metaphorically, the lowest point moment is when they're stuck in pure white.
And she can't find her rainbow.
It's like thematic. It like, wow.
Oh my, like,
this is why they pay me the big bucks.
This is better than like 90% of stuff out there right now. I'm like, we got to call up Jeff. We have to get this made.
Jeff, you're sitting on a gold mine and you don't even know it. No, I can't get your hair plugs, but let's hear me out here.
All right. I think we did it. I mean, that's it.
With minutes to spare, we did it. But last questions. What do you think the critics are going to say about this opening weekend? Are they going to lambast it, or is it going to be a surprise
critics,
hit?
This is a critic darling.
You know what? I don't care what the critics say, because it's going to be a cult classic hit.
Okay. So
for
you
generations.
Okay, I think it's going to be like one of those things where it does reasonable business in America, but it really takes off in China.
No, it's
going to
be like Rocky Horror. They're going to be in the theaters, like mouthing it in the costumes.
I think it's going to be like the new, like the Neverending Story or something like that. You know, it's going to be that type of like fantasy whimsy. And it's going to be, I think it's going to be critic darling. They're going to love it.
Well, they're going to love it.
I can see that, but I also can't imagine audiences coming out opening. It'll be like Encanto, where as soon as it hits streaming, then it takes off. And then
well, this is going direct to streaming, because this is just going straight to Amazon. So.
Yeah, I mean,
no,
this
they'll have a
in the Amazon universe.
Yeah, right next to the Lord of the Rings TV show that no one's watching.
My grandparents are watching that. So.
Your grandparents will watch this. And we'll all win the Oscar for Best Original Song because we're producers. So we'll stand up there with Tay Sway. Amy, this was absolutely lovely. And guess what? We made a musical. And no one can take that away
from us. Feeling pretty good.
Something that didn't exist 28 minutes ago now exists and people want to see it.
Everyone wants to see this.
I mean, don't you?
In spite of themselves.
They didn't know they wanted to see it until like 20 minutes ago. And then they were like, oh, damn it. I want to see this now.
Fuck, they pitched me on it. They did it again, them bastards. Amy, do you have any social medias you want to promote out there right now?
Oh, good grief. I mean, follow Frog and Peach Theater Company on Instagram and Facebook and YouTube. There's Frog and Peach Theater channel on YouTube that has Tinkerbell Theater, which is like the kids' twisted fairy tales. Which is lots of fun. Check those out. My stuff is just my private stuff. So you know,
oh yeah, we
keep that.
That's fine. That's actually healthy. That you're doing it better than the rest of us who just throws it out there. But just so you know, until October 23rd at the Theater 71, 152 West 71st Street, you can see As You Like It live. You can buy your tickets on eventbrite.com or call 616-420-0037. They are playing Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays at 7:30 p.m., Sundays at 3 p.m., and they're having a special performance on October 19th, 2022 at 7:30 p.m.
Oh, I have to know what's special about it.
Yeah,
it's a Wednesday. It's an extra Wednesday.
That's
the
pretty
hump day shows. Those are special ones.
That's the one you bring your mother to. Just now that we made it to the end, tell us a little bit about the show and what makes it so special to you, Amy.
Well, I mean, it's As You Like It. It's Shakespeare. I love Shakespeare. This company is really there to include people who feel like they cannot participate or enjoy Shakespeare because they're not wealthy or they don't have a PhD in English lit or whatever it is. that stuff just goes out the window. We make it affordable for everyone. Shakespeare is about people and catacorns like me and you, messy human beings. These are very universal, real things. It's great fun. It's for everybody. We will find a way to get you in the door. Whatever you can do, we will find a ticket for you. And it's a very joyful show. It's love and exile and friendship. And those things are certainly things that I think we can all understand.
It's everything you loved about Catacorn, but in Shakespeare.
Exactly. And there are songs.
Yeah, there are incredible songs. I listened to a couple of them. Thank you to the PR people. It's great. So thank you so much for joining us. If you can, please go see this show. As You Like It is one of Shakespeare's best, and it's a good time for everyone. Amy, is there anything else you want to say before we wrap this on up?
No, this was fun. I had no idea what I was getting into, but I'm glad I got into it.
Yeah. Are you going to show your daughter this?
Yeah, totally. She's going to be like, yes, this is what I've been telling everyone all along.
No, they'll be like, Taylor Swift is miscast as a character. That is wrong.
I would be Catacorn. Let's be real.
All right. We'll see you next time on Musicals with Cheese.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.